Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It is trade deadline week. The Milwaukee Bucks are heading into that stretch of the season in a really good place. They won 7 in a row. They did win all 5 games that we talked about. Then they won 2 more on top of that, including a pretty exciting game against the Los Angeles Clippers this week. Giannis went off for 54 points. Jrue Holiday is an all-star. There's a fair amount of things that we can discuss, Jim, but obviously we're going to start in the most important place, and that is if you could order 50 of anything from a fast food restaurant, what item off the menu are you getting 50 of? You did not know this question was coming.
I don't know if I like anything like that.
Of course, is a reference. I'll give you a little time to think. This, of course, is a reference to Giannis with another great post-game moment where he insisted that, because he previously had gotten 50 chicken minis from Chick-fil-A following his legendary Game 6 performance, drive-through, live stream. Everyone knows that story. But he said after he scored 54 points that he was going to Culver's to get 50 cheeseburgers. Culver's, of course, a very Wisconsin brand after the hearts of his fans. Well played. Extremely good knowledge of the fan base. But Jim, there's nothing that's jumping to mind for you.
No, I don't. I guess I just don't eat fast food like that. Does Portillo's count as fast? Like, I couldn't even eat like 2 Portillo's cheeseburgers.
I mean, we're going to need a doggy bag. It could be 50 fries, and I feel like you might need a doggy bag depending on where you're getting the fries from. Maybe that's not quite right, but.
You know what? You can line up 50 Wendy's Frosties. Shout out to Wendy's if they want to sponsor this podcast. And ads are available.
Find us at J.R. Radcliffe on Twitter or Jim Ozarski on Twitter. Deal with us directly. Please do not go through the corporate overlords to get advertising. We prefer to deal on a hand-to-hand basis or whatever the terminology would be. Frosty sounds so good, Jim. What a great call. I can't top it. I would probably go Taco Bell. I'd probably go quesadilla, maybe because I think I can get away with those keeping a little bit, because obviously no one can eat 50 of those. But Giannis was being awesome and then having a little fun with it. That has been the story lately, and actually this week it came right after a moment at the end of the game last, I believe it was it Monday against Charlotte? Tuesday it had to have been against Charlotte, where he actually kind of looked like tweaked his knee in one of the last plays of the game, so it wasn't clear how healthy he was going to be, but then he comes out and scores 54 points. He's got a triple-double this week. He's been unbelievable, but we're going to start away from Giannis. The real start to this podcast will be on other matters, and it is trade deadline week, and that is going to be something that a lot of people are interested in. I swear the Jay Crowder will they or won't they conversation is one of the longest storylines I have ever seen for a trade that, I mean, if this trade happens, or trade, I say trade in quotes because I don't even know what the framework would be, it certainly would be a very long time coming. We could talk about Jay Crowder again like we have on every podcast. I don't know if we really want to, but I guess I'm wondering if you get the sense here that the Bucks are poised to do something, and if they are going to do something, and it's not Jay Crowder, what other things specifically are they going to be looking for now that we've gotten to this point in the season, and they're playing some pretty good basketball again.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Chris Middleton is back. Joe Ingles is rounding into form, and I think JR, if Chris had been healthy from, let's say, the first 10 games on, we might have talked about how Joe Ingles was their mid-season acquisition, right? Hey, look at this 6'8" three-point wing shooter defender guy, right? But it just didn't play out that way. Here's a reminder for folks that John Horst typically makes his splashes in the offseason. So here are his last 4 years of deadline deals. George Hill, December of 18. Nikola Mirotic, February of 19. PJ Tucker, March of 21. Serge Ibaka, February of 22, along with buyout signings of Javon Carter and DeAndre Bembry. And, of course, long live PJ Tucker. But, I mean, you go through that list there, JR, that's not really moving the needle, right? So, yeah, the Crowder thing that's so anticlimactic at this point. Like, if he shows up, in Los Angeles at the end of this week, at that point, it'll be just kind of like, hey, whatever. Not that he wouldn't be an acquisition, right? I think it's just the weirdest thing. Now, in terms of your other question of what could they do? I mean, look, Chris being healthy, looking healthy, Joe Ingles looking healthy is no small thing, because it probably means they can focus a little more on defense, JR. I mean, if people listen to this podcast throughout, I mean, my biggest issue with the initial Grayson Allen rumors.
We might as well make it all J. It's J. Rumor Crowder too. Why don't we just give them all the middle name?
Right. What was that? You know, trading Grayson Allen would have made the team worse offensively. You know, so I feel like on offense they found something, and so you know, a more defensive minded type of guy, I could see who that is. I'm sure you're all waiting. I don't know. I mean, look, the Bucks aren't a team that leaks their business. So a lot of the rumors people have heard or reporting, people have read, our good friend Dwayne Rankin over at the Arizona Republic, you know, reported that the Crowder Bucks meeting, quote unquote, went well. Whatever that means, must mean the Bucks left pleased or understanding of why Jay hasn't played basketball. Jay maybe left understanding what his role would be, should he be here. But then the Kyrie Irving thing shook everything up. I mean, if Josiah didn't want to sound the petty horn and send Kyrie Irving to Phoenix, Jay Crowder would be a Brooklyn Net right now. So that might have delayed some things too. And maybe the Suns are going to look for big swings where they're going to need Jay Crowder's salary, and the Bucks just don't have players in the orbit of Kyrie Irving or Fred VanVleet or Kevin Durant or whoever, you know, whatever big game hunting new ownership in Phoenix might be doing. So I don't know. I mean, again, I ran through the list: George Hill, Nikola Mirotic, PJ Tucker, Serge Ibaka. These were ancillary pieces, helpful in the moment, not franchise altering. We can have the PJ Tucker argument down the line. But it, you know, I don't know, JR. Like, if it's something now, it feels like that would be the something. But we'll find out very shortly.
I like how your muscle memory went to JR as you were saying PJ's name, PJR. Like, that happens to me when I'm typing sometimes. That's really funny. You know, and I think, and real quickly before we talk a little bit more about it, I'm not even sure I introduced you, Jim Ozarski, at the beginning of this podcast. I think I have skipped that step. I'm JR Radcliffe, in case people didn't know. He's Jim Ozarski. And new late arriving here, we've got Lori Nickel. Lori Nickel, hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing the Beyonce thing. I'm getting
caught in traffic, right?
Sure.
Before you accept the more Grammy awards than anyone else in history, Lori. I'm gonna come back to the trade here, but we asked a very critical question at the outset here, that Jim was able to answer successfully. I think, what would you get? What item off in what fast food restaurant? If you could get 50 of something, and you ordered 50 of something in celebration, what item? What restaurant are we talking about?
Oh, I would do Milwaukee Public Market. Oh no. I would do Cafe Benelux.
Wow. I don't know if that counts as fast food, but it doesn't
fast
have to.
Food.
We don't need it to be fast food. Cafe Benelux, what does Cafe Benelux got? What do they have?
No, fast food. We can't do that.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're done with that.
So what's Benelux? What's the item?
I would say on a winter day, the meatloaf and mashed potatoes. But if you bike here, like 16 or 17 miles, bike here and back, which is what I do when I do that. You get any of their summer and their tater tots, but any other yummy food in the summers.
Excellent. I'm a big fan of Cafe Hollander and Wauwatosa, same ownership group. So I can't say I know much about the Benelux menu, but I have been there. I have enjoyed it. Okay, so now that crucial detail is out of the way, we're all square. We are, of course, talking trade deadline, and you know, I think, Jim, too, that the Suns are in kind of a desperate crisis mode here. They need to figure out, like, if they're going to still be contending. So, like, moving Jay Crowder, I don't think they can really afford to move Jay Crowder for just some spare parts and some draft picks. Like, I don't think that's where their head is at. And you mentioned the new owner. I guess we don't really know where his head is at all because he's so new to this. But that's one thing that I think is standing in the way of the Bucks getting Jay Crowder, because the Suns need to do something a little splashier than that. And like you said, the Lakers are suddenly much more in play now that they didn't get Kyrie Irving. Lori, I'm going to ask you this about trades.
No, I was just going to text you. Don't ask me anything about
it's more general. If the Bucks do nothing, if they do nothing this week,
good plan.
People are going to be upset about that.
Why?
Who cares? I'm sorry. That's what I'm asking you about. What do you think of that? If the Bucks do nothing, do you think that is the play? Do you think that they end up better off for it? How do you sort of look at this thing?
I mean, they've got to do something with Serge Ibaka, right?
Sure, yes.
Because that's a bad look. I don't like that, how that's transpired. Everything else is fine. They have everything they need to win a championship if they can manage the injuries and the playing time and the workload and everything. And if they can find a way to get some minutes out of Marjon Beauchamp. I mean, but they've got what they need. And what, you know, the argument for making trades or whatever, I think Grayson Allen is a really good shooter. And I think he's a valuable asset to this team. I like the young-old balance. And old is relatively speaking, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry.
We're gonna talk some old basketball later, just so you know. Prepare yourself.
Yeah. So I think they've got what they need. I don't to blow up this team or to change it to do even, and with what's happening in Brooklyn and all this. No, this is not this team. They have what they need, but they have to manage what they have, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I don't know where I fall on this. Like, I hear what you're saying, Lori.
Who do you want? What do you...
I don't know.
They can score?
I mean, I don't think... I think they are. I think they're fine if they make no moves. I certainly think they're championship caliber if they make no moves. But sometimes, I don't know. It's hard to really grasp the intangible nature of what an addition to the roster means, especially, like you said, Serge Ibaka. You know, you're not going to trade him one for one, I don't think.
Right.
Like, I don't think you could just find somebody to take his place. So there has to be a bigger move there, or they're just still going to have him. And I don't know. I don't know what the intangible value is of adding a new element, if that's exciting, if that's animating, if that, you know, PJ Tucker certainly did that in addition to, or seemingly did that, in addition to being valuable on the court, of course, and being a great defender and things like that. I don't know if that's what this Bucks team needs. They seem okay. Maybe not quite as lighthearted and fun-loving as past Bucks teams, but still, you know, it's not like they're in a bad place, I don't think. I don't know, Jim, am I imagining things if I ask about the intangible value to mixing it up on this roster a little bit, and if you think that's something this team even needs?
I think the idea of PJ Tucker a few years ago is never going to go away. And I guess rightfully so, because they won a championship.
Right.
And PJ was such a unique personality. I don't think his personality had anything to like the sort of outward personality. I think the fact that he was willing to get cooked by Kevin Durant for five straight games. I don't, how many guys have that? I don't know.
Right.
And so that's maybe where personality comes in. I mean, they're a championship team as is. I could see if there's moves to be made, be it just releasing Serge Ibaka, eating his money, and then signing, you know, a wing defender who's bought out.
Yeah.
Not sexy. Going to change the culture of the team. No.
Marvin Williams.
But it might just be that extra. Again, you've got another 30 plus games to go. Chris Middleton's still just playing 21 minutes a game.
Exactly.
Like, so they're going to have to get to April. You know what I mean? So there's still some part of that of, I mean, look, DeAndre Bembry is totally forgotten about. Yes, he did blow a knee, but Javon Carter also at the time helped get them to the end of the season last year. So that's part of this too, JR. I don't know if it's so much about adding championship level participants or attitude. It might, some of it's like Lori said, Serge is gone. So you're playing with 14. Jordan Ward doesn't play. George Hill doesn't play. Marjon Beauchamp doesn't play. So if they can add a guy who might actually play, that might be helpful down the stretch.
Yeah, and plus, remember, P.J. Tucker was brought in. He was a foul absorber, right? They needed, like, their tough guy. I hate to use this example, but it's all I can think of. In hockey, it's like the goon, like the guy who goes out there and just, you know, he's the one who's going to play tough. And they needed that a couple of years ago. But now they have so many good defenders, they don't have to rely on Chris Middleton to shut down people all the time. Drew Holiday is obviously, you know, brings so much to the position that he plays that – I just think they're set. And I don't think I don't think making moves is always the quote unquote sexy thing to do or the big splash, unless, you know, unless they have a strong weakness at a certain position. And I just don't see it. In fact, I think they've got people on the bench who could contribute more, and that would bring out some depth to this team.
All right.
That's exactly right. And I would say, you know, this is where there are some interesting ripple effects of the Irving trade, because the need for that kind of player just went down a little bit. Like Kevin Durant by himself, Spencer Dinwiddie, I'm not to the average close to 20 points a game. That's nice, but he's not the same. That's not the same stress as Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. And the Bucks could probably manage that. Now, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, sure. But again, things are changing, and who knows? PJ, again, he missed, it's easy to forget, he missed 11 games with the Bucks before he came back, and he was only playing 20 minutes a game in the regular season. And, of course, the playoffs, we know the role he had to play against Brooklyn. So, it's one of those things where I feel like it can be done, and unlike in baseball with Josh Hader, where it would totally torpedo the team, I think this would definitely be more ancillary and to sort of help them get to the end of the year.
With the Bucks on this 7-game winning streak, they're now just one game back of Boston. Yeah, and they are in second place in the Eastern Conference. They have put some distance, you know, some limited distance between them and the teams below them. And the Nets are one of those teams. And I do want to touch on that a little bit more with Kyrie. Do we think that the Nets were a legitimate threat to winning the Eastern Conference with Kyrie, and that subtracting him has taken maybe one more competitor off the board? Or did you always think that the flaws there, including the hangups with Kyrie, made that team possibly not as big a threat as they otherwise could have been? Jim, I'll just start with you if you have any thoughts on what the deal does. I mean, I guess on the surface you think, well, the deal is good for the Bucks. It's one less Eastern Conference power. But I guess I don't know how – I don't even know how Nets fans are looking at the deal, to be quite honest.
Kevin Durant is a walking contender. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie, to this point – he earned an all-star start. And if he would have remained there, that means they would have paid him, which means he would have been healthy. The X factor was always that. But yeah, the two of them together would have definitely given the Bucks problems. Like I would still have picked the Bucks, but it wouldn't have been, you know, like playing the Bulls or playing, you know, the Knicks to a degree, like, you know, having to run through the Nets with a fully healthy Durant Irving, doing the Boston thing, doing the Cleveland thing. Yeah, I think anytime you can have a top five team weakened, and I do think they are weakened. They're not as talented anymore. So, and who knows? Kevin Durant might decide in the next 2 days he wants to leave too.
Yeah.
and that changes that also.
Yeah, this is the Nets are a wild time. And it's so funny. I just vividly remember, I think it was Rachel Nichols on ESPN, after the Nets went up 2-0 on the Bucks in the Eastern Conference semifinals, saying, "Are we witnessing the beginning of a Nets dynasty?" And I thought, yes, of course we were. Like, they're going to win the next four championships. The Bucks will do what they can, but, you know, all they can do is make it a series. I was reminded over the weekend how tense Game 3 was. It was kind of a rock fight, and then the Bucks were able to pull it out at the very end. Nets missed a lot of shots down the stretch. Drew Holiday with a fancy layup. I had kind of wiped most of that from my memory. I mean, they were a Drew Holiday shot. We're going to talk about Drew in just a minute. From possibly going down 0-3, and then of course they don't win that series. But, you know, and that doesn't even take into account the injury to Kyrie, the injury to James Harden, the thrilling finish at the end of Game 7. With Kevin Durant's foot on the line, like, all that stuff doesn't even maybe happen if not for some of that early stuff. So just crazy to think that the Nets have disintegrated here. Or maybe disintegrated is too strong. They're still 32-20. They're still a playoff team at this point, but hard to imagine them winning the title even with Kevin Durant. All right, Drew Holiday. He's an all-star. First time in 10 years. Went 10 years between all-star appearances, and he is going back to the mid-year game, the All-Star game in Salt Lake City later this month. Lori, I know you've actually written quite a bit about Drew lately. You wrote about Drew and Lauren Holiday and some of the things that they're doing at jsonline.com, which I'd love for you to talk about a little bit. But just in general, I know that this team really rallies around Drew and they love his contributions. And he's a difficult player to evaluate because he is so much about defense and you really can't see on the page sometimes how valuable his contributions are, particularly when guys like Giannis and Chris are out. So just give me your thoughts when you heard that that Drew Holiday was going to be a reserve in the All-Star game and kind of where you think the team feels about it.
I was going to say, I think his teammates would have like protested or revolted somehow if he hadn't been named. They were pushing for that and wanted that so badly. And I like it, you know, it's different a little bit than the NFL. You know, the players really value this honor and award as opposed to, like, getting Pro Bowl or whatever,
yeah,
the various degrees in the NFL, what it's they really respect.
A lot harder to make an NBA team, for sure.
You know, absolutely. And it's fun. It's when you're a basketball fan, your eye tends to gravitate towards Giannis all the time, right? Because it's positionless basketball. A lot of times he brings the ball up the court and all that stuff. But if you want, just like occasionally peel yourself away from that and just watch Drew and watch all the stuff that he does and watch what a menace he is on defense and how annoying he is. And then watch his passing ability and his sight lines and his vision and the small window that he threads some of those passes. Those are the things that I think finally – that's always been there, but he finally got recognition for that. And I think the team might be happier for him than maybe even he is. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, on Jim, but he's a pretty humble guy. So, you know, he's just like, yeah, that's great, whatever.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what he says in Salt Lake City, because you're right. You know, he's like, well, I do want to be an all-star, but I'll also go on vacation.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
and the last couple of years when he hasn't made it, he's like, oh, you know, it's people know. I am curious to see, like, what he's like in the moment after 10 years. I have to feel as a competitor, like, people telling you you're an all-star, but, like, you're not actually. Like, how, like, at some point you want a little validation. I mean,
right.
We all are human. So, yeah, I do think if he was somehow left off, he'd go and be away for a week and be just fine. Right. So I am curious, though, like, to get it again after 10 years, as he said the other night, as an older player, which, again, is not really something the league does. Like, usually the reserves are, like, meant for the next group or grouping of young guys who are now, like Tyrese Halliburton. He's in now. Like, chances are he rips off, like, four or five of these, if not more. So that's sort of how this starts. And then there's Drew. So, yeah, I he deserves it for sure.
I'm so glad.
I'm curious if they'll, yeah.
I'm so glad you're going to Salt Lake. You told me the other night you're actually – we're sending you, right? You're going to go cover it. So you're not just, yep, going there for Giannis. You're going to get the Drew story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it, you know, hopefully we could do some fun stuff while we're there too. And that's, you know, as he says, he's not a guy who dunks, yells, screams, scores a lot of points, but who knows? Maybe if Giannis does indeed pick him as he says he will, you know, maybe Giannis tries to set him up for an MVP. That'd be something.
That trade, yep. I mean, they really did give up a lot to get him. And, you know, they gave up a bunch of draft picks and rights to swap picks and all that. And then also some players, too. I don't think Bucks fans will feel badly about any of this. Eric Bledsoe and George Hill, who, of course, came back. And Eric Bledsoe probably, you know, didn't have the impact that he was able to have with the Bucks. And it's still, like, I don't know how it can be. I don't even know what could go wrong to make this not a great trade because, of course, they got a championship out of it. They perceivably put something on the table that encouraged Giannis to stay. I mean, maybe he stays anyway. I don't know. But, you know, that was, of course, before he signs the Supermax extension, was the acquisition of Drew Holiday. And, you know, he's just so good and so solid and such a great human being, it seems. And so it's, yeah, it's really, like I said, I mean, that deal was massive. They gave up a ton in draft capital And I don't think anything could really happen. I mean, I don't know if a transcendent superstar gets taken with one of those picks, maybe, but that's also not quite how the math of this all works. So I don't, I think they would do it 10 times out of 10. Lori, like I said, you talked to him and his wife and kind of some of the things that they've just gotten so involved in Milwaukee, which is, and they did that right away. They've really been an asset to this town, right?
Right. They remember, like, right when they got here and the pandemic hit and everything, they were donating his salary and stuff like that to, I believe it was Black businesses at the time because everybody was struggling. But most recently, Drew and Lauren Holiday were, Lauren was just out shopping, they're renovating the bathroom, and she talked to the people at Kohler, and she's like, you know what, we should do this for some women's shelters. And they were like, yes, please. And, like, they made it happen so quickly. And so just the other night, they're at the Sojourner Peace House in Milwaukee, which is a beautiful facility, 7 years old. You'd think, what do they need any renovations for? But there's so many women and men and victims of domestic abuse that go through there. There's anywhere from 30 to 90-day stays, and they'll have as many as 65, 70 different families a year come through there. And so anyway, the bathrooms were flooding and all that kind of stuff. And so the Holidays and the Kohler Company and the Bucks Foundation took care of all that. And when Drew and Lauren talked, they're so connected with us already, even though they're not, they've only been in Milwaukee. Has it been 3 years now or four? But it's both of them, too. It's not just him. It's not just her. That's a united front between the two of them. They've done a lot of different community service stuff. And, again, I hate to keep – I hate the NBA schedule, right? I hate what it does to these athletes. But here Drew had played the night before at 9:20 p.m. tip with the Clippers.
Oh,
plays
so
a full
weird.
Game, right? They get out at what I think – Jim said Giannis finished at 1 a.m. And then on Friday, his day off, in the middle of a home stretch, he could have been just chilling out or hanging out with his kids or doing anything. And instead, he's taking this long tour of this facility and learning about the history. And he's engaged and asking questions and talking about it. And he's tired. He's not going to say, oh, my legs are killing me. But he's tired. And then Lauren and Drew are serving food, to the members and residents of the facility. And I respect that a lot. He could have just said, Lauren, can you go? And he didn't. He showed up. And that kind of stuff, when you extend yourself like that to the community, you kind of show what you're really about and what you really value. And it's not just a take situation. And, I really respect the two of them. I mean, these are two gold medal Olympians and two world champions, and they're investing in our city. It's pretty cool.
Like you said, Jim, earlier, we throw around all-star as just a flat adjective. It's also comparative, though, which is the other half of it. Like, you could say that a player's an all-star, but you have to compare them to other players in the league and then pick them when the all-star teams roll around. There's some pretty good players that were snubbed this year, like Jalen Brunson and James Harden come to mind from that first batch of all-stars. Now, some of those guys are going to get to play because of people bowing out with injury or whatever, But that's quite telling that Drew Holiday gets the nod with a pretty stacked Eastern Conference. So a cool thing for him, cool situation. Before mentioned the crazy schedule, that 9:30 game at home or 9:20, whatever tip was. Are you kidding me? I know it's TV. I understand why, but are you kidding me? In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we have a 9:20 tip.
Awful.
There has to be a way that doesn't happen. Yes, they're playing the Clippers. I get how TNT works or whatever. I think TNT was broadcasting. I don't remember for sure. But come on, guys. You can't make Milwaukee people on a weeknight show up for a 9:20 tip.
And not even it makes me angry. Athletes are not built to play 24/7. You've got to take care of your body. They're lucky that there wasn't a serious injury or something. These guys are so dialed in with their nutrition and when they eat and how much they eat and what carbs they're taking at what time and protein. And then they're doing Pat and Drew, these guys, these knuckleheads that are doing these workouts after the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing extra work. And I say knuckleheads lovingly, that I don't mean. But it's just like this. It's awful. I just hate where sports is going right now, and the NBA is just it's awful. They shouldn't be doing this to their product. If you're going to just look at it cruel and heartlessly, you shouldn't do that to the people that are going to produce your all-stars and your champions and all that. I just hate everything about it.
Lori, this I know you're familiar with the distance running circuit. This reminds me of the people who show up at these like 5Ks and they run like 10K before the 5K. That's their warm up. Yeah, that's what pro athletes are doing as well.
Well, what about the LA fans, everyone? They want to see Giannis too.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, that's why they can. I mean, I say it sort of sarcastically, but that's right. Why those.
I get it.
At least if someone's wondering, why did the Bucks play? Like, that's literally why. It was because it was 7:20 in Los Angeles for the Clippers fans or those West Coast fans.
Man, you start Thanasis instead and you bring out Boch. I mean, I just hate it. It's off. It's so hard on the bodies of people who are playing 4 games a week and travel and everything else, and they're already worn down. It's just terrible business. Awful.
All right, well, looking ahead to the schedule, the Bucks play, of course, Monday night against Portland in Portland, and then they got an interesting game coming up a couple days later. I think it's Thursday that they play the Lakers? Wednesday or Thursday? I lost my schedule. It's Thursday, great. And that's important for a couple of reasons. But first of all, I want to take this opportunity to play the petty horn involving the Lakers because it was reported, I believe, in The Athletic, Joe Tsai, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, one of his goals in dealing Kyrie Irving was to make sure he did not get to go to his preferred destination, that being the Los Angeles Lakers. For that, Joe Tsai, that is an all-timer in terms of pettiness, affecting the way you do business. I love it. Go ahead. Here's the horn.
Petty.
It's beautiful. It's just very edifying. I'm very excited that we could use that here. But the Lakers are interesting for another very big reason, and that's LeBron James is about to pass the all-time scoring record in NBA history. Now, it could happen. It could happen on Tuesday night. They play the Thunder, I believe, and he needs 36 points to set the new record and bypass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's long, long-standing mark that has stood since he retired in 1989. So that's a cool thing. And, of course, if the Laker great does not get it, against the Thunder, it'll be against the Bucks in LA at the Staples Center. I'm sure there'll be lots and lots of fanfare, and of course, the serendipitous tie is that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played his first 6 seasons in Milwaukee as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. Won 3 MVPs, scored a lot of points, and I think that would be a kind of a cool thing. I don't imagine there'll be too much of a tie-in, although I would imagine Kareem is there. That seems like something that he would end up showing up to. Jim and Lori, you guys both did a lot on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. When the Bucks were sort of celebrating their 50th anniversary of the 1971 championship, of course, we all know that season also ended in a championship 50 years later. Very very nice round number for Milwaukee to give to us. The greatest of Kareem is almost difficult to wrap our minds around. I mean, the guy hit 1 3-pointer in his career, which I just saw a video of that earlier today. It's incredibly, it's really quite amazing. It was like
he's
a turnaround.
He had 1 3-pointer in his career?
It was like a turnaround in the corner.
Stop it.
Like he gets a rebound, an offensive rebound in the corner. He's facing the bench. He's in the corner. Like, is he out of bounds? And with that, he turns around and throws a shot up from the corner and swishes it. It's pure. That is the only 3-pointer the man made in his career. He took 18 of them. Now, remember, the very several years, I believe he had 10 years when they actually had a 3-point line. So for the bulk of his career, not even the bulk, but more than half, there was no such thing. But obviously, he didn't play very close to the basket. He took 18 career 3-point shots and made one. Beautiful thing. But just in what you guys remember from your reporting, looking back at that team, looking back at just what people had to say about him, does anything jump out? I mean, it's... like I said, it's really hard to grasp how this man scored so many points. He didn't have a 3-point line to work with, and he was just crushing it. Do you remember anything, Lori, that jumps out to you?
Well, shut up. I'm old enough to remember watching him play.
I absolutely was not going to say that.
So that skyhook, you know, that beautiful, like, money, that was his layup. I just remember skyhook all the time. It is incredible what he's done. I think of him more non-playing career, though. The book that he wrote, you know, when we talked to him, he was talking, I think he had triple or quadruple bypass surgery. It's incredible to me that somebody, you know, is like back to our human level here of like dealing with this. But with health things and things like that, I'm glad he's healthy and doing well. But I just, as a fan, I just remember the skyhook, and nobody could defend it. It's like the one shot that you just can't touch. He was just so great. But that's all I remember from watching him as a fan. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Jim? Anything jump out at you?
It is the 2-point shot and doing that for 20 years. I mean, Brook Lopez, like when Giannis broke Kareem's Bucks record, you know, Brook owns the Nets franchise record in score.
Still does.
And I think Brook might have only had a couple of threes, relatively speaking, in his Brooklyn/New Jersey career. So he was sort of in a unique position to maybe talk about that, and he just thought it was insane that he had that many points as a Bucks player with no three, and then to do this. But it does dovetail a little bit with Lori's thoughts on the scheduling and things. Look, back then, Kareem and all of those players flew commercial. They flew, you know, and if there were back-to-backs back then, maybe not, but they also played in smoke-filled arenas because that was the thing. And the fact that he was ahead of his time in taking care of his body, being mindful of his overall health, and then you spin it forward to now with LeBron James, and that's really when I've talked to people recently about LeBron, that's where this goes. It's like how that guy has been able to be this healthy for two decades, the way he's played, is something that I think is, you know, I mean, I know Giannis, it amazes Giannis that LeBron has been able to take care of himself to this degree. And yeah, he's broken. He's had more injuries now in the last few years, but he was a guy who played. He played a lot from, you know, the first decade and a half of his career. So yeah, I think for Kareem, it's probably the sheer volume of points without that 3-point shot, and then also being one of the first guys to take care of his body and put himself in a position to play as long as he did.
I saw too, he scored that hook shot 56% of the time too. So if you're making 56%, as much as they fed him down low too, the game was so different then. You're going to get a lot of points, but it's still incredible. That's just a great career.
Yeah, Jim, you really kind of struck on the genius, I think, of Kareem, maybe to a degree that I hadn't even considered before. I mean, this is a guy who is a national curiosity at UCLA. Everyone knew who he was. He was a star the second he set foot on a basketball court. And he comes to Milwaukee with a ton of fanfare. We all know the story of the coin flip to even get the chance to draft him, but he was the unquestioned number one pick. He came into the league, everyone assumed he would dominate, and he did. And he had a lot of people telling him that he wasn't, you know, like, he's developed a reputation over time as being a little bit aloof, a little bit of a prickly personality. And I think part of that is just him standing up to some of that and saying, you know, I know what's best for me. I know the best situation to be in. I know the way to take care of my body and things like that. And sometimes that means shutting out outside noise and not being as affable. And I think especially then, that was, like you said, ahead of his time to a degree and really important to his greatness. LeBron, I think, has, you know, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a high school kid. He was always the chosen one. And to actually achieve that level of success is also incredible. It's mind-numbing. It's incredible that he has, I think, mostly maintained an affable personality. In you know, there's plenty of people who don't like LeBron James, but he answers every question. He has been, I think, out there on out there on social media after Kyrie did not go to the Lakers. He tweeted Sunday night, maybe it's me, which everybody was like, LeBron, do you need to talk to somebody? It was sort of a kind of a moment of levity, kind of not sure what to make of that. But he has been a visible personality, and he has still, you know, been able to produce at this level and obviously taking care of his body and obviously achieving late into his career at an extremely high level. In that way, I think those guys are obviously connected. They, you know, Michael Jordan was a legend, to be sure, but he wasn't a guy that people were following, you know, the second he was a senior in high school necessarily. I mean, obviously there was a lot of fanfare, but it wasn't like this, like it was for these two guys. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing, and I personally hope that LeBron doesn't score 36 points against the Oklahoma City Thunder and save something for the Bucks. The Lakers do go out of town in their next game at Golden State. There's a 0% chance that LeBron is going to save that record for something else. You know, it's going to be on the Staples Center floor, and I imagine he'll play in both games, especially if that record is still on the line. All right. I think that's it, guys. We haven't talked much about Chris Middleton. We did see his minutes increase a little bit. He has played very well. Like you said with PJ Tucker, probably at this point, just kind of keeping it chill, saving him for the big games at the end. And he has definitely looked good, played a really big role in the team's win over the Miami Heat. Tyler Hero was in town, got his number retired by Whitnall High School. We didn't touch on that. And, you know, it was kind of a cool thing on Friday night before the Bucks beat them. But they got the Blazers, the Lakers, the Clippers again. That was that game that came down to the wire. Giannis scoring 54. That's on Friday in Los Angeles. So they're going to be there. They're going to be in L.A. Playing back-to-back nights. And then they're back Tuesday. Big one against the Boston Celtics. Any last thoughts from either one of you before I send you away? Jim, anything?
Yeah, I think the Kareem thing is interesting. The record's interesting. It's an inevitability. So I don't think there's any sort of we don't want the Bucks or we don't want to have the record broken against us. I think Brooke Lopez the other day said, I think he wants to experience that. You imagine they're going to stop the game and however long that whole process is going to take and then have to restart the game. Because, look, if he's going to break against the Bucks, it's probably going to come in the first few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If not the very first bucket, depending on how things go against Oklahoma City. So I think anytime there's the team, I guess, you root for if you're the Bucks, you want them to win the game. But to be sort of tied again to history, I don't know. Sports sometimes has such fun ways to tie eras, tie people, tie teams together. That's why they make stories and write movies and all those things about it. So I don't know. I think that'd be a cool thing. Just keep jsonline.com. Follow us on all our social channels as the trade deadline bears down at the end of the week also.
All right, Lori, thanks for joining us this week. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much for letting me be here.
You are always welcome to be here. And Jim Ozarski, thank you as well. Again, jsonline.com is the place to be. Sign up for our newsletters, daily briefing newsletter. If you're interested in the news of the day, I happen to be the guy who writes the one that arrives in your inboxes on Friday. So check that out if you'd like. We also have a Bucks newsletter, Brewers newsletter. That season is about to get underway. Great time to get a subscription to jsonline.com. Maybe give it to your love. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. You can give them a subscription to the Journal Sentinel and go see the Bucks against the Celtics that night at Pfizer Forum. See, you're welcome. I just solved Valentine's Day for you. Good. One for me, one for you. It's perfect. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Do the Point Forward podcast. We will chat with you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.